So, a very warm welcome to batch number one of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz. And before we actually have our stories, we are going to have the one and only quiz with Liz. But we're going to do the headlines first. So, my two headlines coming up are Stoke-on-Trent care home wants 27 extra bedrooms and anger as life-saving defib missing during Burslem Park emergency. And Liz's headlines are...
Inside the wonderful Stoke-on-Trent charity supporting cities' asylum seekers, and victims like Jodie deserve their voices heard. Ex-MP on grooming gangs terror.
And before we kick off the stories, we're going to go into the one and only quiz with Liz.
Number one. Which Latin phrase translates as something for something? Number two. Khartoum is the capital of which African country? Number three. Which former British coin was worth a quarter of an old penny? Number four. Manitoba is a province of which country? Number five. What type of fruit is a golden delicious? Number six. What is the technical name for the thigh bone? Number seven. What type of creature is a stickleback? Number eight. What is Hibernia the Latin name for? Number nine. Who is the most commonly recognised patron saint of shoemakers and cobblers? Number ten. In 1980, Brighton opened the first beach dedicated to which members of society? And my bonus question... And I'll be up to date. Heavy metal man Ozzy Osbourne died yesterday. So that was Tuesday the 22nd of July. Because I'm reading this on Wednesday the 23rd. So what did he have in common with the heir to the throne, Prince William? And that's my quiz.
So have a little ponder on all those questions. And we will reveal all a little bit later on in one of the other batches coming up. So keep listening for those. So I'm going to kick off with the first story, which is Stoke-on-Trent care home wants 27 extra bedrooms. A Stoke-on-Trent care home has lodged plans for a three-story extension to create 27 extra bedrooms, Hilton House, that's opposite the Royal Stoke in Hartsill. It submitted a full planning application to the City Council. The proposed new wing development would provide additional ensuite bedrooms, taking the total number to 78, as well as other ancillary services and facilities, and the information of an additional external courtyard amenity. The plans lodged by the home operator Lovett Care come after a proposal for two building extensions at the site, which was granted back in 2019. Fresh plans for a single extension reducing the mass and footprint have now been submitted, and the design and access statement says that Lovett Care seeks local authority planning approval for the extension of the existing care home facility off Hilton Road in Stoke-on-Trent. The proposed design is carefully considered to ensure minimal impact on surrounding properties and amenities while creating an inviting, bright and modern home which all residents can enjoy. A new parking layout has been created by the main entrance to allow for a predicted extra number of visitors. 36 parking spaces, including three disabled spaces, will be provided. Parking spaces for staff with access from Oliver Road have been retained, and 18 spaces, including one disabled bay, access to the building is gained through the existing secure entrance and reception area. The new proposal follows the idea of creating a two-story extension alongside Hilton Road, connecting and providing of better services and amenities for the main building. Currently, Current and new residents will enjoy calm and quiet courtyard gardens on this wing. And on the eastern corner of the site, the current staff parking and servicing area remains as existing, reducing the mass and footprint from the granted option in 2019. Over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in Batch 1.
Inside the wonderful Stoke-on-Trent charity supporting city's asylum seekers. Hundreds of asylum seekers and refugees have come together to celebrate the work of a Stoke-on-Trent charity. They have all received help, support and guidance from Asher, North Staffordshire, a charity which supports refugees and asylum seekers. The charity welcomes everyone seeking asylum and offers them the support and help they need. The organisation believes asylum seekers and refugees should live safely, free from poverty, discrimination and exclusion, and be treated with compassion and respect. Chief Executive of ASHA, Godfrey Seminiga, aged 59 of Berry Hill, said, "We started it in 2004 as a community group to support refugees and asylum seekers. We became a charity in 2006 and I was the founder of the charity. I came here as an asylum seeker from Rwanda in 2003. I went through a very traumatic experience in the asylum seeker system. I was begging for £1 on the street in London. I had been a public medical advisor in Rwanda. I was forced out because of political reasons. I was lucky because my case was straightforward and I was granted refugee status in 3 weeks. I applied for a job to work in Stoke-on-Trent for the NHS Primary Care Trust as a project worker. Stoke-on-Trent is a special area for refugees. There was no community support, and from my experience, you need something to support asylum seekers so they do not go through the same system, so they do not have to beg on the streets. We started a support group. We are now a big organisation and support 2,300 people every year. We are open 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday, and we run English classes and give immigration advice. We offer emotional support for women and children. We run a children's club and an after-work club. We receive funding from charitable organisations, the Big Lottery, BBC Children in Need to support children, Lloyd's Foundation, the Stanley Thomas Foundation, and other small grants. We have support from the Methodist Church and Catholic churches in Newcastle and Stoke and individual donations. We have 128 volunteers and 80% are refugees and asylum seekers. The rest are from the local community. We have been based in Cooper Street, Hanley, Unit 7, since we started. As well as the classes and clubs, we take asylum seekers to do voluntary work in the community. Yesterday we took asylum seekers to do litter picking in Hanley Park. Godfrey added, "We have asylum seekers and refugees from all over the world, 74 different nationalities. We are extending our services to South Staffordshire and East Cheshire. These are not illegal immigrants. They have a right to be here according to the 1951 Geneva Convention." He said, "British society needs to welcome asylum seekers and refugees in the same spirit as German and Polish people were welcomed in 1945. Godfrey added, "Secondly, they do contribute to the local community. You can get a haircut for £10 around the city. A lot of the businesses on Waterloo Road, Cobridge, are run by people from refugee backgrounds. That street was dead. Now it is very vibrant, with restaurants and shops. All the people along that stretch are all people with refugee backgrounds. They are paying tax and contributing to the local economy. 99% of people do work and they do pay tax. We are fighting to get them work. There are jobs. They can work and pay tax to the government. We support about 400 people a week. Sahar Haghighai, age 35, came to the UK in 2022 after being forced out of Iran due to religious differences. The graduate in plant pathology said, "It was not safe to stay there. I came with my family, my husband and daughter. We came to London and were moved to Stoke-on-Trent. First, I went to a hotel near Nottingham. The roof had problems and they moved us to the Best Western Hotel in Stoke-on-Trent. It took 1.5 years to get asylum and to be granted leave to remain. About 1 year ago, we moved into a house in Tunstall. When in the hotel, Serco introduced us to this charity. They helped us to get asylum. It was the only place we could gather and see our people. There are other Iranian people here. Sahar, who had her own clothing business in Iran, now works for the charity 1 day a week and is now looking for full-time work. She added, "I miss my homeland. I could not have achieved leave to remain without Asha. Asha and Godfrey guided us where to live. They had English lessons. They helped me fill the forms in. They had a lot of activities for women and children. My daughter is 8. She is at school. We now call Stoke-on-Trent home. We could not have done it without Asha."
Many thanks for that story. So my next one now is anger as life-saving defib is missing during Burslem Park emergency. Children have been warned not to tamper with life-saving defibrillators after one was missing as an emergency unfolded in a Stoke-on-Trent park. An ambulance was sent to Burslem Park on July the 17th after a boy suffered potentially serious injuries. However, an AED defibrillator housed near the pavilion tea room was nowhere to be seen. In a Facebook post, the pavilion tea room said, "Unfortunately, this afternoon an emergency arose in the park, which resulted in the air ambulance landing. We send well wishes to the child involved. The AED defibrillator was required just in case, but the park one was missing. This is a life-saving piece of equipment, not something that should be tampered with. This has been reported to the relevant department and hopefully we should have a new one as soon as possible. We at the pavilion are fully trained first aiders, bar 2 staff, that are soon to do theirs. Please ensure all your children and teens are aware that these AED machines aren't playthings. They are vital for the community to save lives." The alarm was raised shortly before 3:30 p.m. that day, with the injured boy being taken to the Royal Stoke University Hospital. In a statement, a spokesperson said that "we were called to an incident at an address on Moreland Road in Stoke-on-Trent at 22 minutes past 3 and sent an ambulance and the Midlands Air Ambulance from Tatton Hill to the scene. On arrival, crews found a boy who they treated for potentially serious injuries before conveying him to the Royal Stoke University Hospital." So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us now in batch number one.
Victims like Jodie deserve their voices heard. Ex-MP on grooming gang's terror. Stoke-on-Trent councillors have voted against holding a local inquiry into grooming gangs in the next 12 months, saying the national inquiry should be allowed to do its work first. Elected members at Stoke-on-Trent City Council debated the issue after 1,812 people signed a petition calling for a local inquiry into child sexual exploitation, that's CSE. The full council debate followed the government's announcement that a new national inquiry will be launched in line with a recommendation in Baroness Casey's audit into group-based CSE. Former Stoke-on-Trent North Conservative MP Jonathan Gulis, who started the petition, says it is unclear whether the national probe will look into cases in the Potteries. He called on the council to commit to holding its own inquiry if Stoke-on-Trent had not been included nationally within 12 months. But Labour council leaders said it would be wrong to set an arbitrary deadline for the national inquiry and insisted the authority should focus on supporting victims to come forward. As Mr. Gulis's petition received more than 1,000 signatures, it triggered a debate on the issue at a full council meeting. Mr. Gulis, who is currently the mayor of Kidsgrove, said the Casey report had exposed uncomfortable truth that perpetrators of group-based CSE were disproportionately of Pakistani or South Asian heritage. He claimed that the Labour government had been shamed into supporting a national inquiry following the publication of the Casey report. While MP, Mr. Gulis had supported the family of Jodie Sheeran, who was groomed and raped as a 15-year-old in 2004. Staffordshire Police investigated and a man was charged with rape, but prosecutors dropped the case just before the trial was due to start. Jodie died in 2022. Mr. Gulis said, "The government says the National Inquiry will direct targeted investigations into local areas, but it remains unclear when and where these investigations will take place. So I ask this council to commit to holding its own local independent inquiry if the government does not confirm Stoke-on-Trent's inclusion in the National Rape Gang Inquiry within the next 12 months. Victims like Jodie deserve at the very least to have their voices heard, and the council and Staffordshire Police must demonstrate their commitment to transparency and rebuilding public trust." In response to the petition, Labour councillors proposed a motion that welcomed the national inquiry, offered the council's full cooperation and encouraged victims to come forward. Councillor Sarah Jane Coakleth, who moved the motion, said, "This has been a heinous issue for decades. If we got this right years ago, we wouldn't be here now. Debates like this take place while the victims lie forgotten. Nobody has established the truth one way or another, which has eroded trust in our own institutions. Every institution has let young girls down. We need to forget the politics and let's work together to eradicate this in our communities." Conservative opposition councillors proposed an amendment to the motion that called on the council to commit to a local inquiry within 12 months in line with Mr. Gulis's request. Tory group leader Dan Jellyman said he knew of cases involving Stoke-on-Trent taxi drivers where the council had attempted to revoke their licences due to concerns over their behaviour, only to have courts block these moves. He said, "There are a number of local issues that can be learnt about this. Although a national inquiry may pick these up, I don't feel we can trust the government to stand by their word and actually deliver based on their behaviour so far." Council leader Jane Ashworth said it would be wrong to preempt the national inquiry at this stage, although she suggested there could be further discussions on the issue in future. She said, "It will probably take more than 12 months for the national inquiry to get sorted out and go through all these cases, because they're coming in from all over the country. I think what we need to do is be very clear that if we are not satisfied that people have been heard, then we need to talk again. But right now we need the national inquiry to run through its plan. If we're not happy, then I give you my word, Councillor Jellyman, we will try to agree an appropriate way forward." Councillor Ashworth added that, in response to another request from Mr. Gulis and the Conservative group, she would write to the Prime Minister and Home Secretary asking for Jodie's case to be included in the national inquiry. The Conservative amendment was voted down, but councillors unanimously supported the original Labour motion.
So keep listening. We'll have some more stories for you coming up in batch number 2.